Are you saying amen? Could you hear yourself sing? Sometimes you begin to think, oh yeah, I'm singing like into my own face kind of thing. But it's okay. You must understand that you are praising God. You're not singing for the whole church to hear. Amen? Now, the thing we need to understand is the basic thing about our Christian faith is that we serve a living Savior. And He's in the world today. Come on, amen. We serve a living God. That's what makes the difference. We serve God. God is the center of everything. Jesus Christ is the conqueror of everything. And so we come to worship Him. So, you know, when you come into the presence of the Lord, we must not be influenced by atmosphere or by what we hear, all right? Because it is so easy to be affected by the lack of people or the crowds and things like that. Did you know that Jesus, when He came to the crowds, He never shared anything that was really powerful enough to grab a hold of them and change them? He didn't share much when the crowds came because He knew that they were coming for miracles. But when it came to important things, He made sure that He had the chosen few that He could deposit these truths in. He Himself said we should not cast pearls before swine. So He was very careful about who He shared what He wanted to share. In fact, he's not affected by atmosphere. God does not need an atmosphere to function. On a very hot, hot afternoon, He sits at the well and ministers to somebody He's not supposed to minister to, the woman of Samaria. And as He begins to minister to her, He shares some of the most powerful statements concerning worship. So whenever we come into the presence of God, it doesn't have to be like a lot of people before God can speak to us. God wants to speak to us individually. He is alive. He is, always ready to hear us. That's why I'm preaching. I should not be here this morning. I should be, you know, out there in the world or something. But God did a work in my life personally. When I was kneeling down in that small little church in a small room by a metal chair and praying and saying, if there is a God, change me. He came into that room to meet me personally at about 2 a.m. in the morning. That's right. They were having an all-night prayer meeting and I just was there. So close to about 2 a.m. in the morning, I mean, there was God meeting me so powerfully and my life was completely transformed. So when you come, you need to understand that we are not coming just as a church, but also not as a group of people, but also as individuals where the questions of our hearts can be answered. The thing about God is, the Bible says that God does not look like man looks. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart, right? Not so much as listening to the vocabulary, not listening to the words that we speak, but He looks at the heart. And when the heart is crying out for an answer, God is always close by. Amen. All right, that's good, huh? You like that? Not? Okay, good. All right. All right, so this morning I want us to continue to talk about prayer, because prayer is simply saying, God, You can do anything and everything. The lack of prayer says, I can do everything. That's what the lack of prayer is. But prayer is acknowledging that I can really trust You, God. Now, as I said, please understand that you as an individual, you are important. That's why every person is made differently. All of us, like I shared before, if God were to speak to an angel to come and give you something, all he has to do is tell the angel your smile. Describe your smile. Nobody smiles the same. All right? Everybody has got a different smile. Come on, smile. Behind the mask, smile. Lie to me. But we all have a different smile, not just talking about our thumbprints or our fingerprints. We all have different smiles. Everything about us is different. We are unique, and God loves us uniquely. Amen? Sometimes, you know, they ask parents, do you have any favorite children? And we say, we love all our children equally. And very often, that's not the truth. But we love them uniquely. Each one is different. And our approach towards them is different. So this morning, let's go to the book of Judges. We're going to look and try to learn from this lady who was very confident in the way she prayed, all right, in the way she took prayer up. But there are a few things as I began to read this that I kind of learned some lessons which I'd like to share with you. Judges chapter 1, beginning at verse 12 down to verse 15. Now, this is Caleb. And Caleb says, I will give my daughter Aksa in marriage to the man who attacks and captures Kiriath Sefer. A powerful story. I mean, I think next time it's too late for me, maybe just one more to go, to say, if you're brave enough to do this, I give you my daughter. That's what Saul said as well. To the man who kills Goliath, I will give my daughter. They must have been pretty beautiful daughters. All right, so let's go. Othniel, son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother, took it. So Caleb gave his daughter Aksa to him in marriage. One day when she came to Othniel, she urged him to ask her father for a field. When she got off her donkey, Caleb asked her, what can I do for you? She replied, do me a special favor since you have given me the lands in the Negev. Give me also springs of water. So Caleb gave her the upper and the lower springs. This is found also in Joshua, the book of Joshua, chapter 15, verse 18 and verse 19. I do not know where, yeah, we have it there. When she got off a donkey, Caleb asked her, what can I do for you? She replied, give me another gift. You have already given me the land in the Negev. Now please give me springs of water too. And Caleb gave her the upper and the lower springs. A few things that I learned. One of the first things that I learned as I began to read the story is, I must learn to ask for help. Sometimes, you know, we call ourselves the family of God, but sometimes we are so, we isolate ourselves. And sometimes because we get hurt, we insulate ourselves. And we dare not share our needs with one another. We said when we come into the house of God as children of God, we must learn to understand that all of us are family. Come on, amen. We shouldn't be hiding things from, of course, I'm not saying go ahead and bleed on everyone. I'm just saying that sometimes we need to ask people to help us. Pray along with me. Come on, is that good? That's why I encourage people to belong like to a cell. It is so important to belong to a cell, to be able to share your hearts with. Now listen, we need to accept one another, although we are all different. Come on, amen. Every one of us, we are different, but we need to understand that each one struggles with different issues. And we must never measure our strengths with people's weaknesses. Neither should we measure our weakness with other people's strengths. But sometimes we just don't ask people for help. We need to learn how to ask people for help. One of the things about Aksa is that she came to Othniel, who was a man whom God raised. He became a judge. He was a deliverer. Judges chapter 3, verse 9 and 10 tells us about him. When they cried out to the Lord, God raised up for them a deliverer, Othniel, Caleb's younger brother, who saved them. The Spirit of the Lord came on him, so he became Israel's judge. In fact, he was the very first judge in the book of Judges. So Othniel was a very powerful man, a very strong character, a very brave guy. God decided he was going to be the first of the judges after Joshua. An amazing thing. So God chose him. Now, the point I want to make is this. When you ask people for help, please make sure that they are not weaker than you. You always ask help from someone who is stronger than you. Come on, amen. If I am a weak person, now don't ask me to carry Jonathan on stage. But I can ask Jonathan to carry me on stage. Is that true? Why? Because he's stronger. You always ask someone who is stronger to help you. Right, not you. Yes. So if I want Jonathan to be lifted up on stage, who do I call? Tio. Okay? So we understand. We always get somebody who is stronger. Now, the point I want to make also is this, that she had a relationship with Othniel. Othniel was kind of like related also, but also became her husband. Someone that she knew very well, that she could speak her heart with. Now, as we talk about sharing with one another, we need to understand there are people that we can really trust and bear our hearts with, also knowing that they are strong enough to carry us in prayer. Come on, amen. Some years ago, I read about this certain minister and his whole ministry, very, very powerful ministry, very good in speaking, very good in preaching. Everything about him was so good. And he even wrote a lot of books. Very powerful. But the thing is, on TV, he would always, you know, by the time he finishes his message, he would appeal for funds and talk about how they are going to pray for you. We will pray for you. We will, you know, send in your mail and we will look at your request. We will pray for you. And all mail usually had checks with them. And people would send money and finances. Now, the media began to investigate. And here's the problem. When they went, they did not go to the office. They went to the junk, the place where they threw their garbage. And when they went outside, they found hundreds and hundreds of letters where the checks were removed, but the letters were unopened. Now, this is the sad thing. Sometimes many people begin to ask people whom they do not relate with to pray for them, send in prayer requests to different ministries. And those people don't know you from Adam. But you're asking them, pray for me, and you send finances. People send finances. They watch a certain TV program. They like it. They like the minister. So they send finances. The guy doesn't know you from Adam. What we need to do is to request people who are close by you, your cell leaders, the leadership of the church, people who walk with you, your parents, somebody who is older, whom you can trust that they will pray. Now listen, there are a lot of people who always say, okay, I'll pray for you. And you know they don't pray for you. But when I ask somebody to pray, I want to know that the person will really pray for me. Can I hear an amen? All right? So she knew that she could rely upon Othniel to pray for her. I must learn how to ask people for help because sometimes I cannot pray for myself. The book of James talks about when somebody is sick, let them call for the elders. Let them anoint him with oil and lay their hands on him, and the prayer of faith, which is prayed by the elders, will lift them, the person up. Now listen, the word there, when you are sick, is not sick in your body like sickness. It's talking about where you are so oppressed that you cannot pray for yourself. Have you ever come to a place like that? Where you just cannot pray for yourself because the burden that you are carrying is just too heavy. The need is too great. And you don't know how to pray. Or sometimes you feel you don't qualify to pray. I'm not good enough. I have failed God. So because I cannot pray, I'll ask somebody else to pray for me. But it is always good to ask people to help you out. Amen. That's one of the things about Aksa. The first thing she did before she even went and made her own request was to pray, ask somebody, pray for me. Go and ask my dad for this. Okay, now here is the second thing. I must discern a person's strength or a person's weakness. Othniel was very strong when it came to doing battle. Very brave guy when it came to all these things. But I've also noticed that a lot of people who are very brave in certain areas are also very bashful in other areas. They are very strong in certain areas, but they are also quite weak in certain parts. Some people are very good with talking to people about Jesus and, you know, really witnessing and all that. But when it comes to prayer, they are not so strong in prayer. And so they often would go to people who think that they are strong because there's a certain group of people who call themselves prayer warriors. Have you heard of them? We feel that they are the prayer warriors. And so we go to them. The point with prayer warriors is they believe that everybody must be a prayer warrior. And so if you're not praying like them, then you fall short of the glory of God. But there are some who just cannot pray as long as you pray. Some of you can wake up at 2, 3 a.m. in the morning and pray. But the others, you get them to pray with you at 2, 3 a.m. in the morning, they sleep. And you begin to feel that they are backslidden. You're measuring your strengths with your weakness. And they then start to measure their weakness with your strength, and they begin to condemn themselves and feel like, I cannot pray. I mean, why can't I pray like this person pray? Why can't I do things like the other person does? Othniel was strong in certain areas, but he was also weak in certain areas. He just did not know how to do it, or he was maybe a little bit bashful. He was thinking like, ayo, why you ask me to go and ask for some more? He already gave you to me as the wife. He gave a nice piece of property on the top of the hill. Remember, Caleb asked for the mountains? So the hill that he got, nice, good piece of property overlooking all the valleys and everything else. He already gave so much. Someone go and ask him for some more. It's not right, lah. Some more, I'm just the son-in-law. I don't qualify. All right? So sometimes people feel like they just don't know how to go about doing what you want them to do. I must understand their weakness or their strengths. I build on their strengths and I help in the weakness. I thank God that Aksa was a good wife. She didn't condemn her husband. Now, I know a lot of ladies here sitting there, you are very good with praying. But some of the husbands are more thinkers than doers, more than prayers. And you need to build on that strength. That's why God make opposite people attracted to each other. Come on, amen? Huh? It's always ebony and ivory. It's a fork and a spoon. Only thing about Chinese is two sticks the same. But apart from that, we're talking about opposites. We see the strength in the other person. I used to be a very, very shy person. I know you don't believe it, but I was. Pastor Lifan was the extreme opposite. Still is. She's more outgoing, and all the time when we were in church, you know, I was a pastor, and I would just preach and disappear. And I would hope nobody would talk to me. But she would be talking and moving around and, you know, taking part in all the dramas, the singing, everything she was involved in. But I was not that kind of a person. I was more on the backstage, just ministering kind of thing. She used to think, at one time I was walking to my senior pastor, Pastor Henry, I was walking near him, and I heard her say, loud enough for me to hear, this pastor, a very proud one. So you hide behind, do you know that shyness is actually a form of pride. You're thinking about what will people say if I say the wrong thing? What will people say if I do the wrong thing? It's a form of pride. So she was right in that sense. But we need to understand people's strengths and people's weaknesses. She called Caleb. And so now what happens is sometimes our confidence and in other people will be tested. Okay, because we place so much of confidence in them, and then they fail us, we get so disappointed. Sometimes we cut people off without realizing that is just their weakness, that's all. Right? And we should not cut people off because that is their weakness. And we measure, and this is the problem that many of us have. We think that everybody should be like this. If you're a believer, then you should be reading chapters of the Bible. You should be praying so much. You should be talking to everybody about Christ. That's not their strength. We want them all. That's why Paul writes to the church and he says, come on, everybody, you've got to learn how to become strong in the Lord. Not strong in prayer or strong in witnessing or strong in the Bible, but get strong in God. Find your strength in Him. Find your confidence in Him. Come on, amen. Huh? You will all grow a little at a time. Number three, I must understand my own identity. So in verse 13, Caleb gave his daughter Aksa in marriage. It was his daughter. She needed to understand that as a daughter to this man, Caleb, the father, who owned everything, as his daughter, I can come and ask him. Wonderful story about the prodigal son is one of the first things that happens to him in his restoration process. He begins to think to himself and he says, in my father's house, even the servants get to eat good food. Even the servants have got bounty. But he starts off by saying, in my Father's house. Understanding our identity is one of the most important things. Come on, amen. When we know who we are, this is what we want. I want to emphasize again and again. You are a child of God. The people at Antioch, unbelievers, gave us the name Christian. It was never used by the early church. The early so-called Christians, people who followed Jesus, were never called Christians. They were called Christians for the first time by the people of Antioch, who were very famous. They were even penalized for giving nicknames. They gave a nickname to Caesar. And so it was like a bad connotation when they called followers of Jesus Christians, which means little Christ. Every one of you, all y'all do about is just talk about Jesus, Jesus. You're all like little Jesus walking around the place. It was a bad connotation. But we are first and foremost children of the living God. Amen. As children of God, we are no longer strangers. The people in the Old Testament don't have the privilege that you and I have today. We walk as children of God. Come on, amen. Huh? Born again by the Spirit of God. God came inside of our hearts, changed us, transformed us, put His Spirit inside us where we can say, Abba, Father. Amen. So understanding our identity is one of the most important things. Once we know that, and we have spoken about this so many times before, as a child of God, the privileges are unbelievable. We can walk into the throne room of God at any time. We can stand in the presence of God anytime. We enjoy privileges that the prophets and the kings and all the priests of the Old Testament could not enjoy. None of them, except for the high priest, could go inside the Holy of Holies. But now we stand in the very presence of God. That's why I'm saying, you know, if we don't take advantage of it, then our Christianity is in vain. Because that is the privilege, having what Christ has done for us, we must be able to enter into His presence at all times. Can I hear an amen? Understand your identity. Number four, I must know what I need before I go into prayer. She saw what she wanted. Before you pray, you must know what you are wanting. She saw that the land her father gave her would be of little use if there was no water. So she decided, she thought about this for a long time. Give me also springs of water. Verse 15, do me a special favor. Since you have given me the land, it's wonderful to have the land, but give me also springs of water. When you don't know what you really need to pray for, then you can't pray effectively. You must know what you need. The idea of praying, God bless me, does not work. He's going to ask you, what is it you want me to bless you with? How do you want me to bless you with? Just going up to the Father and say, God, give me. Give me what? I don't know. Just give me. Doesn't make sense. Yes or not? When you go to your Father, you must always know exactly what you need before you enter into His presence, before you come before Him. Not only just to worship and to praise Him. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when you have requests. Prayer is making your requests unto God. Coming before Him and letting Him know what it is you really want. And not being bashful or not being afraid to declare what is it you really want. What if God says no? What if God says yes? We sometimes ask the wrong question. What if I ask for this and then nothing happens? What if I pray for this and nothing happens? What if you pray for it and something happens? I've had too many answers to prayer to doubt that God does not answer prayer. I've been very specific about things and God has answered me specifically. Come on, amen. I've shared with you how when I was in Bible school, how God answered my prayer for 15 cent stamps. When I didn't have stamps, I wanted to reply to letters, invitations from different places, from schools, from churches that invited me to go and preach. No money to even buy a stamp, 15 cents. 15 cents. None. But nearly about so many times, letters would come to me, invitations would come, and the stamp is not stamped. Don't have money to buy envelopes. So I just on that same envelope, cut off that person's name, put their address there. Cut off my name, put their address there. Don't have money for the paper. Use the invitation they gave me. Write on the paper, I accept your invitation. Put it back in the very same envelope and send it back. It's not just once or twice. That's why I can believe God for much more than 15 cents now. Because if the God who is so great would stoop down to answer a prayer for 15 cents, is a wonderful God. Come on, just to show me, I know what you need. Now, sometimes I wouldn't even pray for the 15 cents. I just have the desire. Listen to me very carefully. If you delight yourself in the Lord, God's word is true, friends. Please understand, the Bible was not written for us to just read a book and say, that's a nice book. You can read many novels and call it a nice book, but the Bible is a living word. God's promises are yes and amen. When He says, delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. My only desire that time as a young coming up preacher in Bible college, my only desire was to preach. And He knew the desire of my heart, and that pleased His heart. So the letters would come, not in answer to prayer, but because of the desires of my heart. Come on, amen. I'm a child of God. I delight myself in the Lord. Listen, if you delight yourself in the Lord, He will make ways for you. Come on, behind that mask, say amen. It's true, man. I have proven it over the years, 40 over years. God has never, ever failed me. And I don't, you know, we sometimes sing this song, He has never failed me yet, as if we are expecting Him to do so. I don't like that word. Never fail me yet. No, He will never fail you, full stop. Take out the yet. Nice, sounds good, but it's a wrong song. Theologically, it is out. Would you like to have something to drink? Oh, yeah, anything can. How many of you have done that before? Give me anything. I remember going to somebody's home and, you know, sitting with them in India. I was with the pastor. I said, Pastor, what would you like to drink? I said, Brother, anything, brother. Sorry, Pastor, here we don't serve anything. Anything we don't have, Pastor. What do you want? Tea, coffee, what do you want? That we have, Pastor. Anything we don't have, Pastor. Sorry, Pastor. What would you like me to bless you with? Oh, God, just bless me. Anything also can. Cannot. How do you want me to bless you? How do you want me to bless your children? How do you want me to bless your business? Try it out and see. I mean, what's the harm of asking Him? Lord, I'd like to expand this business. I'd like you to bless me in a certain area. I need a certain amount of finance. Ask Him, man. He will shock you with an answer. And it's always a wonderful answer. Number five, I must discern the giver. I must discern the giver when I pray, in order to pray courageously, in order to pray confidently. See, when the father gave the daughter the land, he deliberately did not give her the springs so that she would come and ask him. He would have wanted to give her everything immediately. That's why God doesn't provide everything for our total future. Everything now will possibly be like the prodigal and wasted who asked for everything now. I want my inheritance and I want it now. And it ruined him. So in His goodness, God holds back certain things so that we will learn how to come to Him. He deliberately does it so that we can learn how to come to Him and say, can I have a little bit more of this? Can I go a little bit further? Come on, amen. Huh? You ask a little bit. I mean, you see Him answer, and then you grow. The reason why God delays some of the things is because God wants us to grow. We are not ready to handle some of the things. But as we grow, then our heart begins to get bigger. Then we understand a little bit more why God is blessing me this way. The other day I was talking to Jonathan about, you know, as God begins to bless you, understand the spirit of generosity. Because as He pours into you, He wants to make sure that it flows out. It is never contained. God never blesses us to be containers. He wants us to be free channels through whom He can flow and touch other lives. Doesn't matter whom, just bless people. Doesn't have to be people of the same faith. I mean, just bless. Live your life to bless. You know, He said, this is what He said to Abraham. I will bless you, Abraham. I'm starting off a whole new generation with you. You're going to be the Hebrew race. You're going to be Jewish. I will bless you, and you will be a blessing to all nations who don't know me yet. You will become the center, the source of blessing to everyone. That's the whole point of being a child of God. You become a blessing to everyone. Know the heart of the giver. And she had to understand His heart. She knew that when she came to Him with a request, He was going to do exceedingly abundantly. She knew that when she asked Him for $100, He was not going to give her just $100, but much more. We talked about the principle where God declares Himself as the God of the how much more. If you being evil, Jesus said, you as human beings, you've got all kinds of stuff going on in your life. You know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will your heavenly Father give you good gifts? Understand the heart of the Father. Look at the question He asked her. What can I do for you? It's like a blank check. What is it you desire? Now, the thing about it, if you read that whole portion, you will discover that as she gets off her donkey, the Father immediately knows she has come with a request. When we get off our high horse, get down on our knees. I said, Christianity is not about a person with a failed mind, but rather a person with a bent knee. And the moment we come down and get down, when Paul fell off his high horse, I mean, one of the first things God did with him was transform him. And God can do the same thing with us. When she got off, immediately He knew she had come and with a need in her heart. And He asked her. She didn't ask Him. She didn't start off by saying, Father, I need this. Immediately He says, what can I do for you? What is it you really want? Before she could even make her request. Before you pray, the Bible says what? He already knows what we have need of. But He just wants us to talk. What is it you... Of course He knew what she needed. She had the land, but she didn't have water. So what happens is He gives her not only the upper but the lower springs. He gives her the whole deal. I will always give you more than enough. I have never given my children exactly what they want. I have always made sure I provided. Me being a wicked man, know how to give good gifts. How much more the Heavenly Father? Can I hear an amen? That is why prayer is the center of our Christian faith. In everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God in everything. And the God and the peace of God, that passes all understanding, it shall govern your heart, rule your hearts. Why do we go through so much torment and stress and anxiety when God is always there to help us? Amen? Be anxious over nothing. Don't be worried about anything. Christians, come on, we need to start practicing our faith. It is not just something that is nice to read in the Bible. It is true. It is practical. I don't have to walk in anxiety. Every time I face a moment of stress or anxiety, I can bring it before God, and His peace will rule my heart. The situation may not change, but at least His peace will rule my heart, and He will let me know it is well with your soul. And I hear an amen. Let's stand together, shall we?